going to be using several verses from this chapter here tonight. We won't go through and read through the whole text. We'll do it as we go through the message tonight for the sake of time. So I'll just give you a brief introduction here, background to what's happening. This chapter opens up with a great day of fasting and humiliation. Now, if you understand and study the book of Nehemiah, you know that he came and led the work rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And at this particular time, the walls have been finished, and the people are gathered together, and they're reading and rehearsing all of the things that God has done. And so this chapter opens up with a day of fasting, a day of humiliation. Israel had finally broken off their unholy alliance with the heathen of the land, and now they are making public confession of their sins. And you can go back and you can read all of that at some point in time if you'd like to. But the chapter tells us that for a quarter of the day, the book of the law was read. And another quarter of the day, confession and worship was made unto the Lord. And then you get down to verse 5, and there is a call that comes up to the people. If you look at verse 5 of chapter 9, then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabani, Sherebiah, and all these other rulers, leaders of the nation of Israel. They're hard to pronounce sometimes, and so instead of sticking my foot in my mouth, I'll just let you go ahead and read them, since you have the same Bible. In the middle of the verse, though, it says, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise." Here's a call that comes to the people, and he says, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God." Now, they had been reading, and they had been hearing of all that God had done for their fathers until it got to the point that their souls were so stirred within them of all the good things that God had done that they had to stand up and bless the name of the Lord, because God is a good God, and He fills us with all blessings. And so in this review of the past here, we're going to look at some powerful, powerful principles, reasons why these people were to stand up and bless the Lord. And I want us to consider them as good reasons why you and I should give God glory and honor, why we should bless the Lord. And I want us to tune out the world. I want us to be able to tune our minds toward God tonight. And as I stated before, you know what? We get busy. Work is hard, and there's business in life, and we have all of these things going on. I'm so glad we have a place to come away, a place of refreshing, a place where we can set all of that aside and be able to tune into the Lord. He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. And I want us to take a few minutes tonight to just focus on the Lord and praise Him tonight, for He is worthy of our praise. Amen. So let's get to the Word of God. We need to praise the Lord. These people stood up and blessed the Lord, and we need to praise the Lord as well, because God is the God of creation. Look at verse 6. He says here, he's giving a review of all that God has done. So he's reading to the people, and the Bible says, "Thou, even Thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth Thee." We need to worship God and praise God because He's the God of creation. You know what the Bible says? The heavens declare the glory of God. Let's look at that in Psalm 19. I'll get to that in just a second here. Turn over to Psalm 19. God's creation, God's handiwork declares His glory and His majesty. The heavens declare the glory of God, the glory of His greatness, His wisdom, His power. The heavens cry out of the glory of God. And the earth showeth forth His handiwork, the Bible says. How does He do that? If you look at creation, you see the variety. You see the perfection of God's creation. Everything is orderly and put together. And if you look around, if you have any kind of honest intellectual integrity at all, intellectual honesty at all, you have to look at what is out there and you say, there's got to be a creator of all of this. Chaos produces more chaos, doesn't it? You know, don't buy into the world's philosophies of millions and millions of years. Don't buy into the philosophies of the Big Bang created all of this. Anybody who's intellectually honest at all has to say, God, there's order in creation. There has to be a God who made this. And that's what the Bible says. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. It's got a voice. It's got a language. Night unto night showeth knowledge. And look at this. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The whole world is without excuse simply by observing God's creation. There's no language. There's no society. There's no culture. There's no people group in the deepest, darkest jungles of Brazil or any other country that is without excuse. There's no language or voice where their voice is not heard. Keep reading. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Especially in Alaska, there's nothing hid from the heat of the sun. It doesn't go down in Alaska, I've noticed. I'm adjusting a little bit to some of that, but I'm still finding myself staying up way too late at night. Just last night, I couldn't get the Humphreys to leave my house. No, I'm kidding. It was because of the sun, not because of the Humphreys. No, we had a good time last night. We had some people over for Megan's birthday, and we had a good time of fellowship, and it was great. I enjoyed it. They all left, and I still couldn't go to sleep. And so we had a family time. We were playing the piano. We were singing. We were doing all kinds of stuff. And before I know it, it's 1:30 in the morning. And I figured it out. My body is fooled because it's still daylight outside. And I find myself working way too late into the day because it's still daylight. Well, the sun, there's nothing hid from it, and especially in Alaska. But the earth showeth forth the handiwork of God in its perfection and in its variety. Look at Psalm 8. Flip over just a couple psalms back. Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. It's an understanding. He says, when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, it helps give us an understanding of who God is, His awesomeness, His majesty. Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Think about this for a second. Simply by speaking a word, God created all of these things. By the word of God. There's a passage in the New Testament. You remember when the disciples and Jesus were going across the Sea of Galilee, and He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep, right, on a pillow? And the storm came up, and the tempest came up, and the waves were tossing the ship around. And they came to the Lord, and they said, Lord, don't You care that we're going to perish, that we're going to die? And what did Jesus do? He calmly got up, walked out, and He spoke two words. Three words, sorry. I can't count. Peace, be still. And what does the Bible say? Instantly, there was a great calm. Now, have you ever thrown a rock out into the lake? What does it do? It makes a splash. And then what? The ripples just keep on going, right? A boat comes by and it makes a big wake, and you just see the waves come rolling in. When have you ever seen water just instantly and stand still? It doesn't happen except by the power of God. Even the winds and the waves obey His voice. And that's what the disciples said. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey Him? God is an awesome God. Look at Psalm 148. Psalm 148, verse 3. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Here's God is calling on creation to give Him praise. Look at Isaiah 40. And I could take you to reference after reference demonstrating the power of God in His creation. But Psalm 40, verse 22. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. By the way, men used to think that the earth was flat. We're really smart, aren't we? We're all wise and all-knowing, aren't we? But you know what? Way, way back then, God knew that it was round because He created it. And He said so in His Word. He said, it is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Scientists, or so-called today, never mind. We'll just pass over that. Let's keep reading. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken Me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. You see the majesty of God here? And He says, who then are you going to liken Me unto? Remember in Job? In Job, I think it's chapter 38, when God is maybe pulling up Job just a little bit, maybe Job was a little bit self-righteous, and God said to Job, where were you, Job, when I created the heavens? Where were you, Job, when I made this and I made that? Do you know how deep the oceans are, Job? Can you plumb the depths of the seas? Where were you when all of those things were made? I'm God. We need to praise the Lord because He is God. He's the God of creation. He's all-powerful. He's mighty. He's awesome. He's great. I had a blessing driving up here. We were driving through the Canadian Rockies. And we went up through Banff, and after we spent a couple of days there, we turned and sort of went north up through the Icefield Parkway towards Jasper. And it follows right through the Canadian Rockies, and it follows the Great Divide. And you can see just mountains, majestic mountains on both sides of the road, and you can't even take it all in. There's just so much majesty. That was one day I was really thankful for a sunroof because I could look up and I could see, I mean, just straight above you, right next to where you're driving, just cliffs and mountains and just glacier after glacier. It was amazing. It was beautiful. We're driving through there, and I couldn't help but be amazed and stunned at the majesty of these mountains, and it just made me think of our great God. And we started quoting scripture verses over the radio, back and forth to each other, Caleb's truck and my truck. And it was a blessing to be able to praise the Lord, praising God for His majesty, looking at His creation. But you know what was really the blessing to me? Not just how majestic it was, but to be able to say that I know the One who made that. And He loves me. He knows me. Who am I? Nobody. Do you think that God is worth praising? I love to be on a lake. When it's clear as glass. The lakes in Minnesota, awesome. On a clear evening in the summer, you can be out in the waters completely, perfectly still. And you can be out in the water. And if I'm out there, then I'm usually bass fishing. I like to be on a lake bass fishing. But you can't help but take it all in. Breathe the air. look at the beauty around you and say, thank you, Lord, for being my God. I like to sit at a fire on a summer evening and look up at the stars. No city lights. It's dark. Maybe not in Alaska, you can't do that. I used to be able to do that. So now I'm really thankful for the privilege I had to do that. We get away from the city, dark. And you look up in the heavens and you see our galaxy and you see stars upon stars and multitudes. And there are millions of galaxies. And each one of those galaxies has millions of stars in them. And God has them all by name. Every single one of them. You understand what I'm saying tonight? It's good for us to praise the Lord because He's the God of creation. And here's the principle or the application. We are nothing. We get so proud. We get so self-righteous. We think of ourselves a lot. We think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. And you know what? It should humble us. It should humble us to look at the creation around us and look at the majesty of God and then be able to say, wow, who am I? I'm no one. And we think we're so smart. And we think that we're something. We're so proud. We got our lives all figured out. All too often our opinion or the way that we think becomes gospel. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, it's the only way it can be done. It's the way things should be done because that's the way I think. And that's how we run our lives sometimes. Based on what I think. In my opinion. When we're really nothing without God. Remember how awesome and powerful He is. And it really helps us to remember who we are. We have nothing to be proud about. And all of our praise and all of our honor and all of the glory should go to God. We cease to give praise to God when we're not humble before Him. And it would do us well, folks, to regularly meditate on the immensity of God and His creation and His greatness, just so we can have a proper opinion of ourselves. It's human nature. We're all prone to it. And that's why it's good for us to praise the Lord. There was a call to praise back in Nehemiah's day. Stand up and bless the Lord because He's the God of creation. Secondly, we need to praise the Lord because He's the God of grace. If you look at verses 7 and 8 of this passage here, He says, "Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram, and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous." Verse 7 said, "Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abraham." We need to praise the Lord because He's a God of grace. You know, the Bible says that by faith, Abraham went out. But it was by grace that he was chosen of God. It was only by the grace of God that Abraham was given such a blessing and such a heritage. And may I say to you tonight that God is so gracious to us as sinful mortals. Think about it for a second. It's only by His grace that we have the opportunity to be saved. What does Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 say? For by grace are you saved through faith. Where would any of us, now listen and think about this, where would you be tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God? Where would you be tonight? When was the last time that you praised Him for His grace that He has shown in your life? When was the last time that you knelt before God and said, "God, thank You for Your grace on me. I don't deserve it. You've blessed me so much. There's no such thing as a self-made man. All people like to think so. I've worked hard for what I have and, you know, pulled myself up by my bootstraps. You've heard that saying before. The things that I have, they're all paid for, and I worked for it. There's no such thing as a self-made man. Who gave you the air to breathe every day? Who gave you the strength to get out of bed in the morning? Who gave you the ability to work? It was God. Only by His grace. The very air we breathe is of God, let alone the promise of eternal life. He's a God of grace, and He needs to be praised for it. Look at verse 9. "And did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heard us their cry by the Red Sea." You know what? He's a God who answers prayer. Here's the nation of Israel who cried unto the Lord. God saw their affliction and heard their cry. If you do a little study on the nation of Israel and the history of them, what you'll find is a cycle. Here they are in the favor of God, being blessed of God. They turn their back on God, and God gives them over to some heathen nation to be afflicted by them, to bring judgment upon them because of the rebellion. And so here they are in torments and affliction, and when they finally realize where they're at, they call upon God, and they say, "God, have mercy on us." And God is a God of mercy, and He brings them back into good standing when they repent of their sin. And He blesses them again. And then later on, they turn their back on God, and they're rebellious, and so God gives them over again to be judged by the heathen nations. And in their affliction, they cry unto the Lord, and He hears them. We see that all the way through the history of the nation of Israel. And as soon as these people would humble themselves, cry unto the Lord, He heard their cry. He saw their affliction in Egypt, the Bible says. Heard their cries of despair, and He delivered them. And you know what? He is still the same God today. He hears when His people pray. You know what? He sees your affliction. He sees our afflictions. He knows our needs. He also hears our cries. And what a blessing it is to know that God. You understand what I'm saying? Where do you turn when things get hard in your life? What comfort do you draw from when there's a loss of a loved one in your family? When there's pain and suffering? You instantly turn to God, don't you? And He hears it. What hope does the world have? Who do they turn to? How do they bear the burdens that they have every day? I am thankful that my God loves me. I'm thankful that He hears my cry. I'm thankful that I can turn to Him. What hope we have in our God? He answers prayer. You know, we pray for Noah George and for his wife and his safety. Are we just saying words? Or do we really believe that God will do that? Right? He hears our prayer. What hope would we have without being able to turn to God? It's a blessing, folks. And we need to thank the Lord for it. I'm thankful that the Lord's ear never becomes heavy through weariness. Now follow me with what I'm saying here. Think about all the times we ask Him for things. All the times that we whine to Him about our trials. And He never gets weary. He never gets tired of hearing our prayer. You know, those of you who have children, especially small children, how easy is it to get frustrated and weary with your little one? "Mommy, I want this. Mommy, I want that. Mommy, can I please have this?" I'm glad God never does that. Because sometimes we act like children. But I'm glad that He never does that. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, we don't have the time to look at all the scriptures here in regards to the Lord bending His ear to us, hearing our cry, but it's definitely something that we should thank Him for. Look with me at Luke chapter 11. We'll just look at one quickly here. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. The Bible says, "And He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midday, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You see the kind of God that we have who delights in the prayers of His children? When was the last time you thanked the Lord for that? There's a lot of things that we take for granted in this Christian life. And when we look at these kinds of things, it ought to humble us, folks. And we ought to be able to say, woe is me, and thank you, Lord. That's what we ought to be able to say. If you look back in our text one more time, there's one last principle here. Verses 10 through 12. Actually, verses 16 to 19. If you would just skip to there, please. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and harden their necks, and hearken not to thy commandments, and refuse to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders, which thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, This is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt, and had wrought a great provocation. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. You know, here's another reason to praise the Lord, that He's a God of long-suffering and a God of mercy. You see how these people tempted God? They were disobedient. They refused to obey, the Bible says. They were forgetful, and that they weren't mindful of His wonders. Can you imagine the miracles that these people saw? And yet they still turned their back on God. They were rebellious. They were idolatrous. They made themselves a molten calf. They rejected God, yet in His manifold mercies, the Bible says, He's a God that's ready to pardon, He's gracious, He's merciful, He's slow to anger, and He's a God of great kindness. Instead of answering their ingratitude with judgment, instead of answering their unbelief with judgment, He added mercy upon mercy by giving His Spirit to direct them. You know, I thought about that. Verse 20 says that. Verse 20, Thou gavest also Thy good Spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not that Thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. As far as the grace of God was concerned, the mercy of God, they lacked nothing. I started thinking about that for a second, and I was like, you know what? It is the same with us, folks. It is the same thing. How often we fail the Lord, and He's ready to forgive, and He's ready to lift up. What a great and merciful God that He is, and He is worthy of our praise. And my challenge to you tonight is these sorts of principles, these thoughts, when we think about the Lord, and we think about His goodness and His mercy to us, it ought to challenge us to do better for the Lord, to be better for Him. Look what He has given to us. Look what He has done for us. And how do we have the right then to take this life that we call ours and run it for ourselves? This is what I want to do. This is what I think. This is how I want to run my life. What right do we have? It ought to motivate us to do better for Him, because He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. And if we go back to chapter 9 here, as these people read in the book of the law that day, of the marvelous goodness of their God, it caused their hearts to be stirred. It caused their minds to be stirred, and it started to burn within them, and they had to stand up and bless the Lord their God. Why is it that our hearts are so irresponsive sometimes to all the manifestations of the wonder of God and His goodness and His mercy to us? If we would just get a sense of who we really are and get a sense of what God has done for us, we ought to fall on our knees and say, God, I'm sorry for being so unfaithful. I'm sorry for not giving You the praise that You are due. My challenge for you tonight is, remember God's love and His grace and His mercy. And may it challenge you to do better. And stand up and bless the Lord. Speak up for the name of Christ on the job. Hey, let me share with you what the Lord did for me yesterday. This was a blessing. Those kinds of things. Don't fail to testify. Look at Hebrews 13, real quick, and I'm done. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5. Yeah, that's probably not the verse that I want. That is not the verse that I want. Maybe it's verse... Where am I at? I'm going to blame my secretary on this one. Oh, wait. I am my secretary. It's the verse that says, a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. This is verse 15. I forgot to write the one down. Thank you, brother. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. How do you offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually? By speaking of the goodness of God. The fruit of our lips, giving praise to His name. And I would wonder, in closing here, just for a moment, we don't have to take a lot of time, but I want to give an opportunity for just a few testimonies. Honoring the Lord, thinking and thanking the Lord, and praising Him tonight for what He's done. I would say, first of all, I am thankful for this church. I'm thankful for you. Solid group of people who love the Lord. That's a blessing to me. You know, I could be somewhere else starting a work from scratch, trying to carve out a people, and I'm blessed to start with people who love the Lord already. That's a blessing to me. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. I'm thankful for my wife and my family. Can't do anything without them. But I want to give you a chance, somebody tonight. It'd be a blessing to each other for somebody to say, hey, you know what, I'm thankful to the Lord for this. Let me praise the Lord for this, whatever it is. Be a blessing and encouragement to somebody else tonight. Yeah, I'm going to put you on the spot, but it's okay. It's good for you. Yes, ma'am, Mrs. Adams. He's given you peace. He's given you joy in spite of all of that. He's a faithful God. Amen. Thank you. That's good. That's good. I could call your name, Rebecca. Oh, but I won't. I won't do that. Anybody else tonight? Yes, sir. So there is healing. Yeah. And we should be able to praise the Lord and thank the Lord in spite of all of those things. God has something that He's trying to do in your life. And it's not by an accident. And we could say, thank You, Lord. You know what I need. That's good. There's always a spiritual, something spiritual at the heart of it. That's good. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
To add to what he said, and to believe it.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord for his provision, his care. That's good. Yes, ma'am.
You're a good mommy. But there's another look for opportunity.
Amen.
Little by little,
That's good. You know, the Lord wants to work in those people's lives too. And we can thank the Lord for putting us in the position where we can make a difference in somebody else's life for Christ. That's how God chooses to lead people to Christ. It's through us. It's a blessing. One more. One more before we dismiss. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank the Lord for his peace. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. It's good to praise the Lord, isn't it? It's good to spend the time together just praising our great God. Let's all stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. And then we'll be dismissed. So thank you for your time and attention tonight. Father, we thank you for the God that you are. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your graciousness to us when we are so undeserving. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to meditate on these things and every day to be able to say the mercies of God, they're new every morning. And I don't deserve these things, but I'm thankful for them and I'm going to serve my Lord today. Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Father, draw us close to you and to each other, Father, so that we can be better servants for Christ. And I pray that you'd help us to always have a good understanding of who we really are. And that's nothing without Christ. Thank you for your people. Thank you for each one that's here. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us as we go our separate ways. Give us a good second half of the week, and Father, help us to be about our Father's business. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.